Today is 17 July 2014. I am Major Randolph Scott Harrison, and I am conducting a telephonic interview with retired Captain Jan Casey Bond, a previous Army PA program lead to the collaboration effort of the Interservice Physician Assistant Program. We are conducting this interview in Johns Creek, Georgia, at the PA History Society office. Good morning.
Good morning.
Casey, if you could just go ahead and start off with some background information, I'd like you to tell us briefly about your formative years.
Sure. I was actually born in rural upstate New York, Syracuse area, to a family of one brother and six sisters. Attended both elementary and high school at Cato Meridian Central School, very small school, graduating class of 81. And after graduating high school in 1971, I worked briefly on a farm, in a factory, and in construction. None of them seemed to me my likely career path, so I joined the Army in 1972 at the age of 19 and retired from the Army in 1996.
All right. So, how did you become involved in the PA profession?
Well, I spent my first 10 years in the Army as a medic, and much of that was in an emergency room environment. And while working in the emergency room at West Point in upstate New York, I met and worked there with three PAs, one named Paul King, another Kurt Weissen, and another Ed Brown. All of those were warrant officers at the time. But at any rate, I was very impressed with them as they worked the emergency room and outpatient clinic. I was impressed with their knowledge and the way that they managed patients. And they all mentored me, and I knew at that time I wanted to become a PA. And in 1982, I was accepted into the Army PA program.
Great. I'd like to talk about some specific related questions to the IPAP. Can you tell me more about your involvement with the IPAP?
Sure. From 1993 to 94, I was the program director of the Army PA program at Fort Sam. And during that time, there was a whole Department of Defense emphasis on efficient management of resources. There were a series of ongoing BRAC base realignment and closure reviews, and ITRO, Inter-Service Training Review Organization reviews. And in 1994, I was succeeded as the Army PA Program Director by Major Donald Parsons. And then subsequently, I think in the 94 to 95 time frame, I was appointed the Army ITRO DAG, or Detailed Analysis Group Officer, tasked with others in determining if it was feasible and or economical to combine the PA programs of the Army, Navy, and Air Force. The military services combined their various PA programs to form the Inter-Service PA program located at the Army Medical Department Center and School, Fort Sam, Houston, Texas, due to mandatory cutbacks by the federal government in 1996.
All right, so what were the primary issues of the day prompting the formation that made it come to Fort Sam versus anywhere else?
Well, there were barriers to overcome, such as parochialism, as you can imagine, also determining commonality of curriculum, availability of facilities, also instructor and course accreditation. These barriers existed because each service's course, while similar, had very significant service-specific traits. All of the parties involved worked diligently to achieve the template for a high-quality tri-service program. However, service pride and a concern of losing course identities that already had proven track records sometimes made for tense negotiations.
Wow. So, who else was involved in the formation of the IPAP?
Well, intimately involved were then Commander Charles Brackage, the Navy PA Course Program Director, as well as Major Vicki Tanner, the Air Force PA Course Program Director, and, of course, the leadership of each schoolhouse, the recruiting commands, and the Surgeon General's office as well. We're all intimately involved in the process.
Can you talk about any of the pros and cons about having, you know, the involvement of the tri-services at that time?
Well, I guess the pros would be that everyone was certainly committed to formulating a quality program that would meet each service's needs. That would be the major pro. A con would be that everybody had different ideas about how to go about doing that. I can think of one specific example. The Army had, as a part of their anatomy and physiology course, a cadaver lab. Neither the Navy nor the Air Force had that. And, of course, you know, the Army instructors and leadership felt that in order to be a good Army PA, that was a part of the curriculum that was very important. Not having had that in the past, neither the Navy nor the Air Force considered that to be crucial to being a successful PA. And then the different roles that the PAs filled post-graduation also made it somewhat challenging to map out a course curriculum that, as I mentioned before, served the purposes of all three services.
How did you and others overcome all these barriers?
Well, a lot of discussion, a lot of committee meetings, a lot of give and take, and also we overcame the barriers by having a committee mediator, and we utilized predominantly a TQM, or total quality management techniques, with a lot of brainstorming and then assigning values to different aspects of the program. And if you've had anything to do with TQM, totaling the values and thereby prioritizing, you know, important aspects to consider when combining the programs.
This mediator that you speak of, who was this?
The mediator was an Air Force 06, and he was a pharmacist, and I apologize, I cannot recall his name. I knew you were going to ask that question, too.
No, it's okay. I just I was just interested, because obviously the question then comes, you know, why pick Air Force, you know,
right,
to be the
right
true mediator and that kind of thing out of when you're doing a tri-service like that.
Yeah, well, in our last conversation, I should mention again that it wasn't just the PA program. During these fiscal hard times, there was a relook at all types of training programs, and so I'm sure that in other tri-service programs that were being evaluated for combining, there were mediators that were of one service or the other, and so it just was, you know, there couldn't be a mediator for all three services, or you just had a new committee.
Roger. Okay. Did you accomplish all that you had set out to do? Or did you have to settle for less?
I really think so. In 1996, as I mentioned, the IPAP at the AMED CNS, they reached an agreement with the University of Nebraska Medical Center that the latter would provide both faculty and administrative support for the IPAP. And as you know, the IPAP graduate now earns a Master of Physician Assistant Studies from the affiliated university. And of course, you know, with any new program, there are some initial growing pains, but I think ultimately we were successful, as the program speaks for itself.
Absolutely. Okay. So how have things changed over time to resolve or to obstruct resolve or obstruct the issues that were involved back then?
Well, I left the program after seating the first IPAP course in 1996. I retired. I only was there to witness that first class. So how it has changed escapes me a little bit, but I know that since its inception, it has had an excellent accreditation record, and it's consistently ranked among the highest schools in the nation with first-time pass results of the PANTS exam, and so forth. The course leadership, including the program directorship, has been rotated through each of the services. I don't know if it's every 3 years they rotate or what the stint is, and I couldn't tell you now which service has the lead for the program, but I know they have rotated intermittently.
When you were initially establishing this process, was that, I assume that was part of the discussion, is who would be the program director and how often that would cycle through and some of the key positions around there as far as that kind of thing goes?
Yes, and that's part of what I was alluding to with parochialism. There was some sense that, well, since the course is going to be conducted, when it was finally decided or concluded that it was going to be conducted at Fort Sam Houston, some of the leadership there at Fort Sam at the AMED Center and School were initially I don't want to speak for them, but I don't think they were on board with rotating the leadership, but that is something that it was felt that for fairness and in order to sort of break down some of those parochial barriers, it was important to have that leadership participation by all three parties.
Okay. Makes sense. What lessons were learned from being involved in this endeavor?
Probably the greatest one that I can think of is that inter-service staff work requires a great deal of diplomacy.
Okay. I can appreciate that. Looking at a couple other things here, any other recollections that you may have that we haven't covered at this point?
Just looking back and staying in touch some with the folks that continue to have a hand in the conduct and leadership of the course, I should mention that Major Don Parsons, who was the first actual IPAP program director, held that leadership for some years, and I think he is due much credit for its success. In the initial launch of the program, because many of the glitches and bugs that would occur in a new program fell on his shoulders and his staff to help iron out and alleviate, and he obviously was successful in doing that and should receive kudos for his work in that regard.
Okay. I do indeed intend to discuss this with him and obviously interview him as well, because we're working on that right now, actually. Any other additional comments or impressions from the early leaders regarding, what the structures were, some of the reasons for the structures, the slots of instructors, things like that? Because I know, we just talked about the program director and the duration of time. There's obviously the director of education, or not the director of education, but the medical director, that's there. There's some of the other key components. And then obviously the amount of staffing, you know, how many Air Force, how many Army, how many Coast Guard.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I could say about the structure that if I were, you know, king for a day, I would put more teeth in the at some level, DOD level, to get each service to honor its commitment to that instructor staffing criteria. I know that's created problems for management of the program in the past, and there's been some shortfalls by some of the sister services in providing those instructors. So I think that could use some emphasis, although I must admit, as I mentioned, I'm a long time away from the school, and that may also have been fixed or ironed out long ago.
Okay. Well, Casey, I think that covers everything that I was looking to achieve through this interview. Is there anything else that you can think of that you would like to make sure for historical records that to get in?
No, really nothing else other than I appreciate your work in this endeavor. I think, you know, it's important to have it on record. Again, the IPAP is one of the largest, if not the largest, PA-producing program in the country, and very, you know, well-accredited and highly ranked. And I think, you know, making sure that history of the program is captured is just a very important endeavor. And so I thank you for your work.
Well, Casey, I appreciate your help, and thank you very much. And I appreciate your time with us, and definitely kudos to you and your initial work in this, because, as I said before, I am a product of your hard work. I graduated from the IPAP, and it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you.
All right.